Okay, good morning to all. Is there any important news that we need to know? Any change? No change? No change. Okay. So we learned yesterday that there are two separate mitzvahs with regard to writing a Sefer Torah. There is the mitzvah that pertains to everybody, men, in that they all have to write a Sefer Torah. In addition to that, a Kohen Gadol has to write an additional Sefer Torah. And it's very important to remember, because this will be discussed in the continuation of the Gemara, that this is learned from the words V'kosav loy Mishnah. Remember that word Mishnah. Just like we use the word on Shabbos, Lecha Mishnah. Two pieces of bread, two breads. So too, as Mishnah Torah means the Kohen Gadol has to have two Torahs. And as we explained yesterday, the Chiyuv for him to have two is made up of the fact that, number one, he's a member of Klal Yisrael, and every member of Klal Yisrael has to have a Sefer Torah. And secondly, because he's a Melech, and a Melech has to have a separate Sefer Torah. And the Gemara explains so far that there's a difference between the two. And that is the one that he has because he's a member of the Jewish nation, like every person, that does not need to accompany him wherever he goes. However, the Sefer Torah that he has as a result of being a Melech has to accompany him wherever he goes, whether he goes to war, etc., etc., except in the Beis HaMerchatz and the Beis HaKisei.
I'm a little confused. Are we talking about a Kohen Gadol or a Melech?
So, did I say Kohen Gadol? I meant Melech. Only a Melech. Only a Melech. If I said Kohen Gadol, it's a Melech. A Melech has to have that second Sefer Torah, the first of which remains at home, and just like every other member of Klal Yisrael, and the second one has to accompany him wherever he goes. So the Melchama goes home, goes in, goes out, except when he goes to the Beis HaMerchatz and the Beis HaKisei, because we learn from a pasuk, it has to be accompanying him in a place which is ra'u to read from the Sefer Torah. You cannot read from the Sefer Torah in these types of places. Therefore, over there, the Sefer Torah does not accompany him. So that's what we saw so far yesterday. Now, we'll see later on, leading up to the Mishnah on the next Amud, that we will revisit this. So it's important that it's clear, two Sifrei Torah, and it's all learned from the word Mishnah, because of Loi, it's Mishnah Torah. Mishnah means two, like from the word Sheni. By the way, this is an interesting side point. Teeth in Lashon HaKodesh is Shinayim. Why is it called Shinayim? Because it's the only part of the goof that renews itself. You have one set of teeth, and then you have a second set of teeth. You don't have a second set of arms or legs. So it's called shinayim. A shana, a year, is something that always renews itself. V'shinantam levonecha, you review your learning, something you have to always continue to learn. The Mishnah, the Mishnayis, everything that's reviewed and repeated is called Shein, from the root Shein, or Shana, or Shnayim. So to over here, Lecha Mishnah, or Mishnah Torah, is a double Sefer Torah. Reb Larry, you wanted a point?
Yeah. A quick question. When was the first time that we had a Torah the way we have it today, on the Klaf, and the, you know?
Oh, so that's going to be discussed in the Hemshech of the Gemara. Okay, so let's now look back into the Gemara. We're about the 10th bottom line from the bottom of the Gemara, towards the end of the line. The last word on the line is Mar. Now, this is a fascinating discussion. There is a discussion how to understand this discussion. But this is very important historically. And Larry, this is going to answer, hopefully, your question. Omar Mar Zutra Ve'itema Mar Ukva. So it was either Mar Zutra or Mar Ukva who said the following. Now, we're going to have to translate literally for the moment, and we'll see in a moment whether that's the correct translation. Bitchilo nitno Torah liYisrael. In the beginning, Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Presumably, this means Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe on Sinai. Biksav Ivri veloshen Hakodesh. So we're going to discuss now in this sugya both the language in which the Sefer Torah is written and also the style of writing. So the Gemara is telling us that initially the Torah was given in Ksav Ivri, which the Gemara will define in a moment. It's a certain type of Ksav, it's a certain type of writing, which, by the way, is not the writing that appears in our Sefer Torah. But Ksav Ivri was the initial Ksav that the Sefer Torah was written in, number one. Number two, what language was it? It was in Lashon HaKodesh. Says the Gemara, we'll come back to this in a moment. Says the Gemara, Chozra v'nitno lohem b'mei Ezra. It was then given to Klal Yisrael once again in the times of Ezra. Biksav Ashuris Veloshoin Arami. So the writing changed and the language changed. For the moment, as mentioned, we're translating literally. We'll soon see whether that's the correct translation. Now, just historically, just so we should know what's happening. When Klal Yisrael went into Golus, following the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, they went to Bavel for 70 years. It was Ezra who brought them back. Ezra brought them back into Eretz Yisrael, and he was responsible for the beginning of the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Whilst Klal Yisrael were in Bavel, the language, the native language in Bavel is, of course, Aramaic, Lashon Arami, which is, of course, why our Gemara that we are learning till today is written in that language, because it's Talmud Bavli, Talmud from Bavel, and the language at the time was Aramaic. That, by the way, has nothing to do with what the writing was. The writing, that was a different discussion. But for the moment, the language. So, initially, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, sounds like this is what the Gemara is saying, it was written in Lashon HaKodesh, and that changed when Ezra, who was called, by the way, Ezra HaSofer, when Ezra brought Klal Yisrael back into Eretz Yisrael, it sounds like that's what he's saying, that the language of the Sefer Torah changed, and it was written in Lashon Arami. That's with regard to the language. So too, the Gemara seems to be saying that there was also a change with regard to the style of writing. Initially, the Sefer Torah was written in what type of letters? The Ksav Ivri, which we will define in a moment. And that then changed, again, at the time of Ezra, to the letters of the style of writing called Ashuris. So have a look briefly at Rashi. It's the second last Rashi on the Omud. What does that mean, Ksav Ivri? Shel B'nei Aver Anohor. From those across the river, Aver. We know the Jewish people are called Ivrim. Avram Avinu, the end of this week's parasha, is called the Ivri. Ivri means from Aver. Aver means to pass, or the other side. The other side of the river, meaning, we'll see which river, hopefully, this is referring to. But Ksav Ivri. So there was a certain type of Ksav. Again, we're not talking about the language. We're talking about the style of Ksav. The Ksav was initially given in Ksav or Ivri. This is the style of writing, as Rashi says, from those who live across the river. Now, let's have a little bit more. We'll see there's a Tosis, but we have to carry on the Gemara in order to really understand more details. What's going on over here? What the Sefer Torah really changed? What the language changed and the writing changed? What's going on over here? Says the Gemara, Biriru Lohem Li Yisrael. They then were Mavarer. They selected, like the Malacha on Shabbos called Boiram, they selected for Klal Yisrael Ksav Ashuris V'loshen HaKodesh. What does that mean? That they've taken a bit of the first round and a bit of the second round with regard to the style of writing. They've selected for Klal Yisrael Ashuris. If anybody is wondering, by the way, what Ashuris is, that is the Sefer Torah writing until today. So if you open a Sefer Torah and you look at it, or mezuzahs, or tefillin for that matter, the style of writing that you are looking at is called Ashuris. Why is it called Ashuris? We'll soon see. So according to
who's the they?
At the time of Ezra, we now had a double round. Round number one, with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sefer Torah was written in Ksav Ivri. But then round number two, Ezra then had it written in Ksav Ashuris. So Klal Yisrael selected to go for Ksav Ashuris. What language? Initially, the Torah was given in
Lashon HaKodesh.
In Lashon HaKodesh. Ezra then switched it to Lashon Arami. That was selected. They should go for Lashon HaKodesh, which means, therefore, the Sefer Torah that we see nowadays, if you would have got an aliyah this morning to the Sefer Torah, then you would have seen a Sefer Torah which, number one, is written in Lashon HaKodesh, and number two, it's in Ksav Ashuris. So that means with regard to the language, this is in fact the language that it was right at the outset. And they did not adopt Ezra's change of language to Arami. But with regard to the writing style, they did adopt Ezra's change. And rather than having it in Ksav Ivri, they have it in Ksav Ashuris, and this is what we have until today. However, says the Gemara, V'henichu lehedyoitois Ksav Ivris v'loshen Arami. But they left for the hedyoitois, the Gemara will describe, will define that in a moment, for the hedyoitois, the ones who were considered the hedyot, simple people, they left them the other two options. They said, you can have your writing in Ksav Ivris and Loshen Arami. So it's the Ksav that the Sefer Torah was initially given in, and it's the Loshen that Ezra changed it to. Who are these Hedyoitos? Man Hedyoitos, Omer Rav Chista Kutoi. It's the Kutim. Now, those of you who perhaps are an art scroll Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, I'm sure they give you a historical backdrop as to who exactly were the Kutim and whether they are considered Jews or not Jews. Do they explain that?
Not at this point. Not at this point.
They don't define what Kutoi are?
No, I don't think so. I'm just looking so in my eyesight, not so good. Kuti, Samaritans, 51 notes. No, Samaritan scrolls are to this day written in the ancient Hebrew script. That's the note that's included here. There's nothing about the Kutim.
Okay, so Kutim might be. Is a whole discussion in itself, whether they are Jews or not Jews. There were different types of Kutim, so we'll leave that for a moment. But there is a sect, in English, I think they're translated as the Samaritans, and they have the unusual Sefer Torah, which is written not in the language that we have, Lashon HaKodesh, rather it's in Arami, and neither is it written in the style of writing that we have, Ashuris, it's written in Ksav Ivri. Says the Gemara, all of this, by the way, everything we've said, the Gemara is still going to explain, and we'll try and explain as well. Says the Gemara, my Ksav Ivris. What exactly does that mean, Ksav Ivris? What does that look like? You're telling me that the Torah was initially given in Ksav Ivris. So Rashi told us that Ivris comes from Eiver Hanor. There was a nation across the river. But what does that writing look like? So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Chista, two words. Ksav liboy no'o. What does that mean, liboy no'o? A very, very strange word. So look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud. Liboy no'o. It's a type of writing that has very large letters. Ke'en, similar to oisam shekoisvin, those that we write, bekemiois umezuzois. What's kemiois? I think in English it translates amulets. Now, mezuzois, I'm not sure exactly what Rashi is referring to, because in our mezuzois, we have not particularly large necessarily, it's true. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. There are one or two very large letters, but so too in the Sefer Torah. But either way, it seemed to be, and by the way, I'm not a Sefer, but if any of you bump into, for example, Rabbi Reuben Mendelowitz ever in the Groshul, he learns in the morning, he is an expert Sefer, and he'll be more than happy to fill you in. And the fact that, interestingly enough, the style of writing in the Sefer Torah has evolved. Even though you might think that the Sefer Torah that we see today is probably the one that's surely this is what it looked like 3,000 years ago, it's actually not. But that's not our discussion for the moment. So the style of writing has changed a little bit. But either way, Ksav Ivri, Rashi says, is the style of writing with very large letters, and apparently this is the way they used to write in an amulet and in mezuzos. So it doesn't sound like there's a difference in the shape or the look of the letters for the moment, rather it's just large letters. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos disagrees. We'll see in a moment. We can't yet learn the Tosfos because Tosfos is slightly based on the Gemara later on. But just have a look at the last line of that last Tosfos. We won't see the whole discussion yet. You know what? Let's see the whole Tosfos. We'll try our best to see the whole Tosfos. There is one line that's based on a later Gemara, but I think we should see the Tosfos now. Ksav liboy no'o. Now, let's just make a one-line introduction to Tosfos. There is a very important halacha with regard to writing, whether it is Sifrei Torah or writing a get, etc., etc. And that is, you have to actually write the letter and not have the letter formed automatically. What does that mean? Imagine, for example, you wanted to draw the letter Vav. So we all know what a Vav looks like. It has a long, upright, vertical on the right-hand side, and then it protrudes slightly to the top left. That's a classic Vav. Now, imagine, instead of writing a Vav, what you did was you just spilled a bit of ink and it splodged on the page. And then you scraped away the sides such that what remained in the center was the shape of a Vav. That is not called writing. You never wrote a Vav. Rather, You scraped away such that the Vav became formed automatically. And this, by the way, has many, many, many ramifications, la halacha, for a sefer. It's called Chok Toiches. That's what the Gemara calls it, Chok Toiches. Chok Toiches, you'll see Toiches uses this phrase in a moment. Chok Toiches means exactly as we described, rather than forming the actual letter, what you did was you worked with the outskirts of the letter such that the letter became formed. Now, why is this, by the way, very negeh lahalacha? I mean, why would any sefer in the world want to just spill ink and scrape away, etc., etc.? Where it's very negeh lahalacha is when the sefer makes a mistake. When the sefer makes a mistake and the sefer Torah needs to be corrected. So this is where the sefer or the magia needs to know the halachas of chok toiches. Very often, you cannot just chip away a little piece here or a little piece there. You've got to erase the entire letter and then rewrite it. Because if you don't, it may be considered chok toiches. So let's, for example, take the vav that we just spoke about. Imagine a sefer writes a vav and it's all going perfectly well. He does the upright on the right-hand side. And then he's just forming the, we know what a vav looks like, he's forming the head, and accidentally he splodges with ink a little bit on the left-hand side in a downward direction, so that it now looks a little bit like a ches. Are you following my gist? Because it's now got an upward on the right, it's got a roof at the top, and a little bit of ink splash, and it's going down on the left, so it looks a little bit like a ches. So what do? So you go to a sefer, Rav Davidovich is the big expert in Bet Shemesh on these things, and he will obviously have to examine it depending on the length and the width and the thickness, and he might say to you, yes, I'm sorry, this is considered a ches, in halacha, and it needs to be corrected. Now, what are you going to do? If you just now chip away at that left-hand side vertical, well, that may well be considered chok toiches. Why? Because you didn't write the vav. You wrote a ches. You chipped away one leg so that you're left with a vav, but you never wrote a vav. And therefore, the Rav might well tell you, sorry, you've got to erase the entire letter and then rewrite it. By the way, I mean, we're going a bit off subject. Technically, you may actually not need to erase the entire letter. Because if the Rav is smart enough, do you know what he'll tell you? What you should do is as follows. In this case, for example, where you accidentally did a ches. So he may tell you, you know what you should do? For the moment, actually don't erase the entire letter. Firstly, erase the roof. So what am I left with now? Two verticals, right? The roof at the top is gone. Then erase the left-hand side vertical. What am I left with? I'm left with now just the right-hand side vertical. Now put the roof back in. That's considered writing a vav, because after all, you always write a vav like that. You always start off with a vertical and then you add the roof. So again, these are very intricate and very complicated halachas of chok toiches. But the bottom line is, whenever you come to writing, whether it's Sefer Torah or mezuzah or tefillin or a get or shtar chalitza, whatever it may be, you've got to write the letter, but not have it formed by working on the outside of the letter. With that introduction, now have a look at Tosfos. Says Tosfos, Ksav Liboy No'o. So Rashi told us that Ksav Liboy No'o is writing with very large letters, Rashi did not tell us why it's called Liboino. Says Tosfos, if you have the bottom Tosfos, Yesh Meforashim, some explain that what this means is as follows. Sheha'ois Naasis min halavon. The ois is actually made from white. Normally we know ink is black. What does that mean? Shememalin hachalok dioi. You fill the parchment with ink. Vahaksav nasis me'elov. And the writing then is just made by itself. Minayar chalak, from the plain part. Meaning that you put ink around the letter. So instead of writing the letter, if I understand correctly, you'll be left with the outline of the letter so that the letter is actually white. Imagine, for example, you have a black piece of paper and you then scraped away some of the black. So you're left with white. So now instead of having a white paper with black letters, you've actually got black paper with white letters. So if here, if you spilled the ink and then you scraped away parts, not like we spoke about before, you scraped away the outside and you left ink in the middle. Here, to the contrary, you scraped away the middle so that you're left with the white. So what color are the letters now? The letters are the white, which means you never actually drew the letter. Rather, the letter's just made out of the white part. Says Tosa, some explain that's what this type of writing is, and that's why it's called Liboino. Liboino from the word love on white. Says Tosus, I'm very sorry to tell you, I cannot accept that opinion. Why? Veloinahira. This does not appear to me to be correct. The ein ze ksav. That's not called writing. Why? The have chok toichos. Miss out the next two words. The Bach takes him out. B'chok yireichos. I'm not getting involved with that now. It's chok toichos. The omrinon begetin. If you look in the Masechta of Gittin, it says ein ksav legabe get. That is not considered a writing with regard to get because you never actually formed the letter. All you did was you have now the outside of the letter so that you've scraped away some ink and you just have a letter formed. And just like with regard to a get, it's not considered to be a writing. Gaba Sefer Torah, nami einoi kosher. Neither would it be kosher for a Sefer Torah. Therefore, says Tosfos, I cannot accept that liboino is from the word lovon, and you're going to end up with this white type of writing, which you never actually wrote, obviously, because it's white, and rather you just scraped away the outside. That cannot be what it means, because that's not considered ksav. Now, it's true. Tosfos is really giving the game away a little bit. The Gemara doesn't actually say in Gittin that it's not considered a ksav with regard to a Sefer Torah. There, the Gemara is actually talking about a get. Says Tosfos, as far as I'm concerned, that's all the same thing. If it's not considered right, thank you. If it's not considered a writing with regard to Gittin, then neither would it be considered a writing either with regard to a Sefer Torah. So that cannot be what it's referring to. Question number one. Question number two, and this is the Gemara that we haven't yet learned. Yeah. This is the Gemara that we haven't yet learned. But the Gemara later on, have you ever heard the famous expression in English, the writing's on the wall? Right, we've all heard of that expression. I think we all know where it comes from as well. It comes from the famous Malach, who in the times of Belshazzar They had the whole party there, and all of a sudden they saw a hand, and a hand came and it wrote on the wall. We'll see you later. The Gemara talks about this. But what's negea to us, if you quickly have a look at the top of the next omud, chof base omud base, it's the second line. It says there, and it's quoting a pasuk in Ezra, in Daniel, excuse me, loy, it says in Aramaic, loy kahalin kosvo lemikraya. They were not able to read the writing. It says there that strangely enough, when this hand appeared and wrote literally the writing on the wall, they were unable to read the writing. Why were they unable to read the writing? Because it was written in Ksav Ivri. Now we get to a big problem. If the Gemara says, again, the Gemara said by us that what is Ksav Ivri? It's Ksav Liboi No'o. And we're trying to work out what does Liboi No'o mean? So Tosafot says that some explain that Liboi No'o from the word Lovon, which means it has the exact same shape as our letters. There's nothing unusual about the letters. The only thing unusual is it's not written from the black, it's written from the white. Well, if that's the case, why were they unable to read the letters when the writing was on the wall? If Ksav Ivris is Ksav Liboi No'o, there's nothing exceptional, there's nothing unusual about it, at least not about the shape of the letters. So why were they unable to read it? So look in Tosafot. Tosafot says, Va'oid. Furthermore, not only halachically would that not be considered a ksav at all, but practically also, am I, why, quote unquote, loy kahalon kosva lemikri? Why were they unable to read the writing? After all, hare loy nishtane. There was no change in ksivas ha'oisiyos klal. There was no change. If you're going to define a ksav ivri, which the Gemara is telling us is ksav liboi no'o, means it's the exact same shape letters. There's nothing unusual about the shape of the letters. The only difference is that rather than writing the standard way in black ink, you scrape away and you're left with white. Okay, so why were they not able to read that? It's the same oisiyos.
Would the wall have to be black?
It was. That's what ksav ivri is.
The wall would have had to been black.
Not the wall. The way that it would be written was you write the outline of the letters, so you're left with the white in the middle. That's how you write ksav ivri. You don't actually need a whole black wall. You just need the outline. You draw the outline of the letter, which means that you're doing the outskirts, and in the middle, you're just left with a blank white, but now you can see the shape of the letter. So why are they unable to read that? Says Tosafot, therefore I disagree. Now, by the way, this might well also be a question on Rashi. Because Rashi told us what's Ksav Ivri or Liboi No'o, very large letters. Okay, but if they're large letters, Rashi didn't indicate in any way that they are different letters to the one that we know. They're just large. So once again, we might well have the question, if there were large letters, why were they unable to read their writing on the wall? Either way, have a look at Tosafot, the way he concludes. It says, Tosafot, Rabbeinu Tam, Pirush, the shame Mokoi. There's the name of a place, and it's called Rishma Liboi No'o. It's actually the name of a town or a place. The Koisvin Boy Ksav Mashune. And they write there a very strange type of handwriting. Oh, well, that answers the question. Nobody is telling you it's Chok Toiches. Of course, you write in the normal way with a pen and black ink. That's not an issue. But what's strange is, as a totally different type of writing, it's like, for example, we would all struggle to understand Chinese writing or even Russian letters. We can't read it. If you read something in French, you can read every single word. You might not understand it, but you can read it. But in Russian, some of the letters we don't recognize, certainly in Japanese. So therefore, says Tosafot, it had the Ksav Mashune. Ah, If it has a ksav mashuna, so now we understand indeed why was it that when the writing was on the wall, they couldn't read it. The answer is because it was a ksav mashuna. So therefore, according to Tosfos, the ksav ivri is this strange type of lettering that nobody was unable to read bichlal, and that's the ksav that the Sefer Torah was initially written in until Ezra came along and switched it to Ashuris. We will see Mitzashem more about this tomorrow. Are these things to be taken literally or not? Mitzashem will see. Okay, in the meanwhile, have a good day and a good Chodesh.
Can I just ask one quick question?